What's going on, everybody? I'm Stubbs, that's Damien, and this is RH Weekly. All right, Ambernic has brought us the 35XX. What used to be called the Ambernic Mini got a new prototype name of the 35XX, and then they kept that as the actual name, with shock and awe across the community, breaking out of the classic RG353P sort of nomenclature. Is that the right word?
I think naming scheme.
Naming might scheme. Be
naming convention, something like that. That sounds right.
So. The naming convention. So
yeah, no, it was funny when everybody was looking at the name for this. They were like, oh, I wonder what the extra two numbers are. Well, they were like, well, okay, it's what's outside it the naming scheme, but it's, you know, like the 3-5 what? We thought this was a placeholder. And it's like, oh,
right.
Oh, that's just the name.
That's just the name. It's not like a hidden secret. I always thought it was like this is mysterious. I kind of like it. But now it's just called the XX. And I think XX must stand for they've nixed the two rubber nips down below on the 353V and now downgraded some of the RAM and the parts and said, here we go. No, the reason why this is so bare bones, as you're seeing on the specs here, I mean, we got 256 megabytes of RAM, which is going to be rough, but we'll make the most of it. It's pretty bare bones specs, right? But it's going to be $50. So, I mean, that's outright beating the Miu Mini pricing right now. So that's...
Oh, yeah.
And that's what people have been saying. They're like, is this going to be a competitor to the Mini? Everybody wants to know. And the drama surrounding it this week is, does it play SNES full speed? I'm not talking about maybe a little bit of glitchiness in Yoshi's Island. I'm talking about random games like Donkey Kong Country maybe don't play full speed. The CPU in here is an older, I believe, ATM CPU, not from an automatic telling machine. That's just the model number. It's a older chipset based in Android. It supposedly will need to run something like Android 5, so which is the bare minimum for RetroArch to work. And I've heard from Ambernic they're frantically trying to work on some custom firmware for it with the Onion OS devs to get something going that's going to not only have RetroArch, hopefully, but it might have some connectivity. So Bluetooth, because there's 2.4 gigs. Mm-hmm. And here we go. So here's an unboxing. Very exciting. And it does have a USB-C cable. Can you imagine if they went back to micro USB at this point in the game?
Oh, man. Like, I mean, I understand why this device exists. There is a lack in the $50 range market, right? Like, this is the space that most of our handhelds used to be in from all the pre-Ambernic, basically, before they really hit their stride. You know, the LDKs, the whatever turned into Miu. You know, handhelds,
RK2020
goes and stuff like that. Yeah, well, you know, anything before the 351 line, and it was all these like $50 handhelds that basically kind of played crappy SNES and you know, maybe some PlayStation. You know, the V90 was a good example of that, right? Like, it was in that performance range, roughly that price range. I think that Ambernic probably got their hands on a good stock of the parts that ultimately made this handheld, and they're giving us the opportunity to have a current made lower spec, lower priced handheld. I think it's kind of cool too, because it, you know, it has all the conventions of the newer ones, USB-C, probably a decent screen. They've learned all the lessons that we've learned through all those older handhelds, and now we have a $50, you know, handheld. The 256 gigabytes of RAM is something. So
that's the tough part. I wish they would have gone at least with 512 there. That could have really helped. But they wanted to drive the price down below the Miu Mini. They wanted to be able to claim that it performs better than the Miu Mini. We're not going to know until we get this in hand. I am hoping that my review unit shows up in the next few days here, and I'll make a video day of, as I usually tend to. It's just too exciting. You get a new device in the mail, and you're like, okay, let's get content out. You know, let's see what this, let's just unbox this thing. What does it do? And I love the DMG model, by the way. That's my favorite of these three. The purple, yeah, it's cool. And the white's cool, but just the classic DMG. It looks like an RG300. Remember those? What's some of the
yes,
original?
It does. It looks, but with the actual buttons instead of those with weird, the like, buttons. See-through candy color ones that, yeah. that came on the 300.
Those were popular back in, like, 2019-ish. So
they had, like no shoulder button. No, they had one set of shoulders, I think is what it was. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, and this has the 353V style shoulders. So, sorry, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, imagine having this one in 2020. Like, if we could have had that. It's got HDMI out on it.
I bet it's like super ergonomic. I bet it's comfy.
For what it is, yeah, absolutely. I think this is a cool value proposition. This is Christmas gifts right here.
It is. $50. And I know, yeah, so the price is going up. It is, where was it? So in a few days, you know, the price is going to go up to $56. And if you want to load it up with the most RAM, the most memory possible with the bag and everything they give you, it'll be $70 eventually. Still, they're probably always going to have an option for it to be $56, and that's still right there in the Miu Mini pricing. So you're going to have a real choice in your hands. Do you want the Miu Mini, which is a little bit smaller? Or if you have bigger hands, maybe this is a better bet for you. It needs to be able to match the Miu Mini to have a fighting chance as far as performance. As long as it can hit the same benchmarks in PS1, especially in SNES, because that's going to be huge on here. Here we are playing Zoo's favorite Fire Emblem, right? And the screen looks okay. Like, it looks like the 353V screen, but I don't think it is, because I'm seeing some... I don't know. It doesn't look as high quality as the 353V.
I have a feeling we'll learn some lessons once we get them in hand and see where it's really going to land. I am optimistic that this is going to be a, for the price, very good handheld, especially if you need like a little backup or something like that, or, you know, just cheaply getting into the hobby. I mean, this is great. It has a lot of stuff that we did not have back then, so I am all ready to get mine. I don't know which color, though.
Yeah. I can't decide. I mean, purple is cool. And the white one's cool because you can see the PCB. Yeah. Looks like the atomic purple. It's cool. Battery's okay.
No. Yeah, I mean, for the chipset, though, 2100 is okay. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Could be worse.
And it has Bluetooth, I guess, so you can... And HDMI out, like you were saying, with that 64 gig SD card. CPU rocking a Cortex A9. I mean, it is a quad core, but again, it's a little bit older. 640 by 480 for that screen resolution, 3.5 inch IPS, blah, 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 blah. We have another Ambernic. It's been another week, and it's another Ambernic. We're fans of Ambernic, obviously, because we like covering their stuff, but it's like drinking from the fire hose as a reviewer this year. You know, it's just like, one hand after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Like, okay, let me catch my breath. I'd be okay if Ambernic released no handhelds for the next 3 to 4 months. I know that's impossible, but I'd be okay with it. Like,
give me a minute to save up for something.
let me save up for something. Let us mature the custom firmware on all of 2022's Ambernics, because there was so many released, you know, and they're not going to hit their best selves until 2023 when the custom firmware catches up. So I'd say slow the train down. I don't know what's up with this frantic nature of just boom handheld, boom handheld, boom handheld. We're gonna flood the market with every little thing. Again, the pricing on this is rock solid. We thought it was gonna be $70 easy. Yeah, $50 is a nice little surprise, as we saw in the video yesterday, but yeah. What do you think?
Well, the most interesting thing, I think if you scroll down on the right there a little bit on that Twitter post, I think he references it.
Oh, yeah, Serif. Yeah, he's Black making Serif. Firmware.
This is the thing that I'm most interested in, just because, like, I did not expect him to randomly say, yeah, sure, why not?
I love this. It Android on 256 megabytes of RAM. Yikes. Challenge accepted. I'll see what unforgivable crimes I'll have to commit to make that happen. So gauntlets thrown down.
Lineage on a potato.
We're going to get lineage on this wonderful potato. Again, $50, DMG model. Awesome machine for up to probably PS1, SNES. Maybe that's what we need to find out. What's the word on SNES? If it can't even do SNES full speed, I'm going to say you better drop that price to like $35, because we're going to have a riot on our hands. People are going to freak out. They already are. Join us in our Discord, by the way, to join in these ridiculous conversations, which we do these deep dives for weeks at a time on every little thing on handhelds we may never buy. So
grown adults arguing about the performance of a system from the early 90s on a $50 handheld, like the frames being a difference between like 49 to 50 or something like that. It's great.
It's fantastic.
No, but like jokes aside, no, I think it's going to be great if Black Seraph puts together an Android build on this. That'll be A, hilarious, and B, I'm curious to see how he does it, and C, if there are any issues with this chipset versus the emulators, like optimization stuff, it probably will help in that space. I would be surprised after a month if we have any issues with performance that that CFW can't fix. So we'll see.
We'll see. I'm a little worried it has the power of VR for the GPU too. That's classically a pretty tough GPU to get emulation running snappy on. I'm not going to throw shade yet, though. Until I see it, use it, and have some impressions for you all, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. More on Burnick. This week, the RG505 and its now well-known issues of joystick, what do you call that? Cardinal direction issues, where it snaps
bias
towards the cardinal directions of these Hall sensor sticks. Well, Mr. Superzoo and Russ, by the way, both made videos about the fact that there's a new update out, and that update totally addresses these flaws. So running the FOTA app on your RG505 will fix it. Zoo here tried it out afterwards, and he's noticing that it is not pulling as much towards those cardinal directions, those eight directions. It's a little easier to maneuver in there. Russ mentioned it's about a 50% improvement for him. So an improvement is an improvement. Would love to see a 75 to 80% improvement. But it's cool that you can fix Hall sensor stick issues in software. So Seraph has a ROM coming for the 505, by the way, everybody. And that should fix any remaining issues, because you know he's going to write some fancy filter algorithm that's going to just knock this out. So I'm really not too concerned. Speaking of Seraph, one thing we didn't add on today's news and we should segue into is he released Lineage OS now for the 353M, 353P, and 353V. All three of those. That's available now. $10. Join his Patreon and you can totally download that and load on Lineage and have just an awesome experience. A nice, lean, clean ROM on your Ambernic.
Right. And I mean, now is a great time to get best bang for your buck as far as his Patreon account is. You get access to all this. Yeah. I was actually really happy because I knew he was going to do Lineage for the 353M. I know that the hardware between some of those is a little bit different enough that I thought maybe we were only going to get on one, but he's doing it on all of them. So it's I'm actually kind of excited. So
me too.
It should help with some of those overhead issues that we might be getting with the Play Store updates and stuff on the 505.
I'm pretty stoked. I haven't done reviews yet on actually any three of those. I did some impressions but no review videos yet, and I'm gonna load Lineage on all three of those bad boys and then do the review, because what can we squeeze out now? We'll find out.
If he's looking for challenges in this space, there is the granddaddy of this line of handhelds, the 353s, and that would be the good old 503, right? Which is kind of like also the granddad of this one because it's the same screen. The only issue on that one is it has half the RAM of the 353. It's like, come on, I think we can do this.
I think they're having an issue getting Android going on the 503 last I heard.
Yeah, I remember, if I remember right, it was a lack of RAM issue, but that might have just been one of the issues. I dove into it, but that would be cool to see it on that. I like that device.
OLED screen? Yeah.
It's comfy. Comfy.
I think the 505 definitely beats out the 503, not only in performance, obviously, but just in everything to me.
Yeah, what's out of ergonomics, there's no reason to buy a 503.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that device, for mainly for the fact that there was the damn reset button right next to the function button. So I'm going in to do a save state for like Sonic, and boom, I've reset, and I'm like, no, my progress, why? This is almost as upsetting as when my mustache fell off this morning.
Just right into the toilet.
Mm-hmm. It just fell off. December popped its head in and said, hey, start fresh, man. What can I say? All right, let's move on. We've been talking for like forever on the Embernic. Surprise! GKD Mini Plus. We said that was coming in January. Nope. It is December the 9th. It is here, and you can buy it. Originally, it showed up on AliExpress about a day ago for a ridiculous price of like $180. But from keepretro.com, link in our description, you can pick up just the little mini console by itself for $100. This is going to be closed source, mind you. So just know what you're getting into, but it does have the same chipset as the 353 line. And a 3,000 milliamp hour battery, 3.5-inch screen. It has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, OTG, double rumble motors, dual stereo speakers. Does it have your fabled headphone out? That's what people need to know, right?
I believe it does.
Okay, so
I think I would have seen something about that. I could be wrong, but I have no reason to believe it doesn't have a headphone jack.
So. And it comes in white and pink. I went for the white one. I picked one of these up because this is a great price point. You can get it with a dock. So it has that dockable add-on that will make it look like the other GKD Mini, the GKD Plus, the all-in-one.
Right.
So
it's like, what, $13? I would say get it with the dock.
It's only $13 to get the dock. Might as well get yourself the little carry case bag for a few more. So I went with this bundle. Oh, no. This bundle says it's sold out. No way.
Or they're just not pre-ordering it yet.
No, I mean, this is the one I went with about an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's gone. Sorry, everybody. No bag for you.
Wait a minute. At least the 16 gig one. If you want to get the 64 gig one, it's a little bit more money. That one's still available, but it's $139. So I don't think that's necessary. You know, you can swap out for your own SD card. I always go for the lowest size SD card. That's just my opinion.
Same.
Yeah,
same. So, I never use their included SD cards outside of just like for testing purposes.
For testing, yeah.
No, honestly, if I decide to get one of these, I might get the pink one. It kind of looks cool, like, I mean, the pink D-pad.
Yeah,
nobody does that. It's all like black D-pad on pink shell and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe white or something like that. But the pink D-pad and the pink buttons—that's
kind of fun.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
I wish they had the more pictures so people can see what it looks like with the dock. Let's see.
While you're typing this in, when I become a kawaii VTuber who does handheld reviews in the future, because that's totally going to happen, this will be my handheld. It's pink on pink. I love it.
Pink on pink. Yes. Yes, it is the kawaii handheld made just for you.
Although they put the white dock on it in the video, I remember, because they probably didn't have a production model in pink yet.
I'm about to pull up just our old RH Weekly episodes at this point. Why don't we have... Anyways, I'm sure you've all seen what that looks like. Yeah, so I am going to do... Oh, look what comes up. It's actually the next video down is our video. We'll just go to that one. Remember when we were young gentlemen back in September?
You notice in that title it says RH Daily?
Right, episode 2. That's back when we were attempting to do this daily. What were we thinking?
Our families are like, why are you
doing
this?
Oh, man. Look at those hairy people. Mm-hmm. My God. Okay, here's a picture, finally. So here's what it looks like docked. So it has that accessory, boom, pops on. You get your rubber nips, everything you want. I can't wait to play with it and try it out. So
I'm really curious what that handheld is going to feel like. Like with that big old hump in the back. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like Game Boy Color, because Game Boy Color is actually quite ergonomic for a vertical handheld, because of that little hump that they put in the back. This is a bit much more. So I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Retro Kezins is excited, I think. He's reporting on it. A gigabyte of RAM. A gigabyte. We could do Android on here. Dude, what if we send Seraph a GKD Mini? We just sent it to him. Like, challenge. Challenge is set.
Apparently that's the requirement is... He needs to get one for free, and then he'll do it. So I'm sure there's more than that. He's going to pick what he wants to actually work on. But
well, yeah. But
that's been the struggle with the GPD XP Plus line is, you know, he says, yeah, I'll do one if I can get one.
I'll just send mine to him.
Oh, that's like a $400-something device, right? Like at this point. So it's just like a lot of us are like, that's a lot.
whatever.
So speaking of these cheaper handhelds that are these new gen, I don't know, gen 2 cheap handhelds, the TrimUI Smart is the next thing here. So Jutley's over at RGH has made basically a reskinning of their stock OS called Tomato OS, which is cute. Like kind it. Of a little wink, I'm thinking, to a certain other vegetable OS. And it looks neat. I like the Smart. The TrimUI Smart, I love that purple color. The screen to me is too small. The bezel's huge, but it has Wi-Fi and can do retro achievements. So I'm very torn. I have yet to pick one of these up. Something's holding me back, and I'm not sure what it is. I think it's the giant bezels. I think. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think a lot of it also has to do with just there's some neat features and stuff here, but just there's so much, so many options right now.
Yep.
And with the price of this thing, it feels a little bit more expensive than it should be. It's what? How much? It's so like
this one's $100.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe. So you can pick up in our description. There'll be a link to this firmware, but check it out if you have picked up a smart TrimUI Smart. I haven't seen a lot of people gush about this who have already bought and received theirs. So
I've barely seen anybody show them off in our device showcase channel. Like, say, hey, I got one. I don't think I've seen hardly anybody. But no, I won't be getting one. They committed the cardinal sin of not putting a 3.5mm headphone jack in there. So I'm out.
Has that all winner in it. That's going to... Okay, so this will do some PS1.
I mean, this is mostly an 8 and 16-bit handheld, which is fine.
Yeah,
for the size and everything that it is, but...
You can pick these up on Keep Retro if you want. Let's see. It might be cheaper than 100. Let me double check. Let me meander my way. I'm sorry, not 100. They're on sale right now for $80. Get yourself one for $80. I'm going to get that purple, perhaps. There's a blue, yellow, and a white one. The white one is not.
And they do have some. They do have features that other handhelds don't. Like, I believe they have their proprietary, like, what's like the app market and stuff. Ooh. Like that they've got. Yeah, exactly, the app market. Something about,
okay, Retroid started, I think, you can
multiplayer or with Wi-Fi or something.
The Retroid Pocket One had a damn app store. They did this first, but maybe this is done better. I don't know.
Yeah, but who plays on the RP1 anymore?
Nobody. Like two people.
How many people played on the RP1 when it came out?
I had one for like a week. I was like, this is not good because it doesn't have a touchscreen. This is pretty bad.
We owe everything to the RP1 because without that, this community wouldn't exist. So
not the RP1. No.
Was it the RP2?
RP2 was what founded the community. That the RP1 did not even cross my radar, but the RP2 did, and I'm like, that's adorable. We want this. And then I went back and bought the RP1 off Amazon. I wanted to see.
And then returned it.
And then I returned it because it was just not so good. And I have an RP1 now, you know, just for nostalgia's sake. I've collected one, but
someone has to.
Somebody needs to. They were down to like $30 last Black Friday. They were clearing out their inventory. Now you want to buy one, it's well over $100, which is crazy. So yeah, pick up a Trim UI Smart. We'll have a link for that one. Oh, Damien. This is one I wanted to talk about last week, but I wasn't there. My consciousness wasn't quite ready to accept that this is even being offered as a product yet. So the Peak 2 Wireless 60 gigahertz MM Wave. Taki covered this. This is a Switch style handheld. It is a screen with magnetic Joy-Con sliders. So you can put Joy-Cons on here. You can put third-party Joy-Cons. And there's the rails. But this is a streaming device that streams from your PC to this device, but you have to be in the same room. So it's like apparently zero latency, like literally zero latency. Amazing performance, but you got to be line of sight, same room as your host device. So this isn't really a handheld, and it's also $400. So, Damien, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic device. It's economical and totally practical. If there's a use case for this thing, like a really strong use case.
Hold on, though. It's $327 right now on Kickstarter. Oh. American. So, I mean, that's better, right? That's G Cloud pricing.
Yeah. That's totally worth it.
No.
I mean, in the same room.
Yeah. I guess you're paying.
Anyways, if there's a strong use case for this, I haven't heard it yet. And definitely not at this price range that it is. I don't want to be that guy that just like sits here and dumps on something.
It's a monitor.
And then everybody's like, come on, stupid. Like, it's like, you know, it's perfect for this. It's like, oh, because like that happens sometimes when we all have strong opinions, right? And then about something, especially when it's negative, but I just don't get it. Like,
well, I mean, yeah, I made a channel in our Discord for it. Just to see what people's thoughts were, and it's overwhelming. Everybody's unified in saying this is a garbage idea and a garbage product at a garbage price. If we can get the price down, and if it could actually run literally anything on the device somehow, like if it had a CPU and it could actually run a little bit of emulation, then it's a handheld. Right now,
well, I mean, it's got a CPU. It needs something to like govern.
It's a dummy.
How it operates, but
it's a dummy terminal that streams games. I just don't see the point, especially if you have the G Cloud, which is the one I would recommend at that same price. Get the G Cloud. I know this is zero latency for your streaming.
I like how at retail the G Cloud is the better option. That's pretty bad.
Yeah,
like. Well, everybody just like says that's overpriced.
G Cloud is it's only $300 right now, at least. It's on sale still, but
tell you what, if you guys want the real honest opinion of why I think this is
tell
out
me,
there,
tell me.
Head
tell
on
me.
Into our Discord. No. Okay. Just head on into our Discord into our Peak 2 Wave channel. It's all in there.
All right, it does have an 8,000 milliamp hour battery though, man. So. It has zero latency.
It plays 3A games.
That's cool, though. You can stream your PS5 to it. Okay. I mean, that's kind of fun. So you just plug in the device, the USB stick, to your console or your computer, and it just works. Is that what we're doing here? Is that what's going on?
I mean, it must be a Nintendo Wii U moment where somebody else is using your only television and you have the PS5 in that same room as the television and you want to stream the game to the handheld because somebody's using that television, but you can't leave the room.
So what we're doing is we're paying a premium basically for this new MM Wave technology. Is that what I'm understanding?
It might be.
I'm just trying to see where the where all that money is going to. That's all. What a wild.
And I
time.
Will say this, like I said, if there's something that we're missing, let us know in that Discord server. Like we will
tell
totally
us.
eat the crow.
Yeah,
like,
we'll eat the crow. We're just we're simpletons, and we know what we know, and this is new, and we're not used to change around. So I mean, let us know.
Well, it's not like the Pimax portal where it has a bunch of like extra stuff it does and unique ideas and stuff. Because at least that thing, like at the end of the day, someone say very easily, it's like, bro, it's a 4K handheld right. that has like a bunch of extra features and you can use it for VR. It's like, okay, that makes sense. So.
Yeah, that actually has me excited now. I've gone from the Pimax portal from like, what the hell, to a decent to, huh, nice. And I've come back to it and looked at it, and I've been getting more into VR lately. And so finally I backed it yesterday. And then, I got the QLED version, not the big boy one, but the smaller size. And I'm excited for the VR portion and the Android portion. I was talking to Tech Summit, who tried it out at a convention of some sort out in New York. And he said it's pretty awesome, and that the face buttons and D-pad and all that work well. The buttons all feel good. The screen is beautiful and gorgeous. It's like a 4K screen, and that it's supposedly really, really good for emulation if that's going to be your use case because of that chip in it. So not only did I back it, I'm just very excited that this has the possibility of being the one, maybe the one, you know, it's an oddity that could be a huge hit. And probably they're going to perfect it in their Gen 2, Gen 3 product. Pimax relentlessly releases things. They release, I think, a headset every 6 months, it seems like. And they're tailoring towards that niche, that high-end VR market, the widest FOVs. But, I mean, this might be it for an awesome VR headset and an awesome handheld. Beyond that, you got your Steam Deck and your... what else at that size point? I mean, you got your Odin... and those other higher performing ones, but that I see the value in spending $400 to $500 on. Peekdo, I'm still not seeing it yet. I'm just not seeing it yet. Somebody convince me.
I'm over the Peekdo. For 2023.
Throw it away.
For 2023, I think that if you can afford to buy it, because I know that these are going to be expensive devices, mm-hmm. and you know, for some people, $300 to $500, depending on what we're talking about, isn't a ton of money. For some people, that is a lot of money. So obviously this generation isn't going to be for just anybody unless they're looking to buy, like, it's like buying a PS5, right? You're buying mm-hmm. the console that you use a lot. So unless you're looking for an everyday device that you can get a ton of mileage out of, there's going to be a lot of really competitive options. You know, we're looking mm-hmm. at the Razer's Edge coming out here in early 2023. That thing is going to have specs for days for its price point. And all of a sudden the Pimax Portal comes out of here and it's just like, hey, look at what I can do. Like, it's just like, ooh, there's going to be options. And the Steam Deck's still going to be around. If you're not into the Android side of it and you want something that's a little bit more x86 mm-hmm. focused and it's in that price range and it has really good performance and the battery life's okay. And yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting next year. It'll be a different market. It'll be like when the Odin came out and we were like, oh, well, this hobby just changed. It's like, apparently we don't know anything.
It did. What's gonna happen in 2023? We don't know. Now, for having an 8,000 milliamp hour battery, it only has a 3-hour battery life. That concerns me for being a streaming device. What? Does it take that much power to run
I don't get it.
I didn't realize this, but it's not a touchscreen. If conditions allow, they're going to add a touchscreen to it as a stretch goal.
So the digitizer's there. Oh, because I get it, because it's still in Kickstarter.
$30,000 HDMI adapter.
Those are pledge goals.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right. That's what the pledge goal is. Stretch goals, right?
$30,000 HDMI adapter.
What in the world? I'm too old for this.
We will keep an eye on the Peekdo wave, and see where it goes, and if someone can enlighten us onto what it is. I think we need to move on. We're spending way too much time on this thing, though.
We are. Let's get it even more ridiculous.
Speaking of awesome VR and such.
Russ has lost his mind, finally. He's now covering Nextwear, which is AR glasses from TCL. You know, I've looked into these recently. There's also ones made by Enreal, the Enreal Airs, the Rocket glasses. So what these are is an overlay HUD over your eyes, and you can still see the room around you, but you have like a nice 120-inch display, an OLED display right in front of your eyes. You can have YouTube running, you can have games running, you can run your retro games in there. So Russ reviewed it. They sent him one, and he actually was very surprised that it was pretty cool technology, that it was very nice to plug into a Steam Deck. And he, I believe he kind of came away with this like, okay, for the price, it's not bad. It's pretty cool. We're still in a Gen 1 and you can feel that it's a prototype. You can feel that it's not quite fully baked yet, but in a couple years, this is going to be awesome, awesome stuff. So I recommend watching this video. It's on Indiegogo. We'll put a link to this as well. It's very lightweight, dual micro LED screens in those glasses. I mean, this, I wouldn't use this for gaming so much as I'd use this for like productivity stuff, like maybe editing. Like I could be working on the RH Weekly edit and I could have something playing while I'm working on that, maybe a podcast or what have you. And I mean, that's kind of cool. So not only do they have those, but they also have the Bluetooth, like audio only smart glasses. So I just got these in from Razer. These were $25 for Black Friday. You can still pick them up for $50 on Amazon. They look a little more dorky, but yeah. So they're nice. So they have speakers that fire down right here, and the sound quality is awesome. Made by Razer, but these don't have any benefit really in the eyes. They just have like a blue light filter. So low tech, not really what Russ is doing here, but I really want to try one of these out. So I'm definitely going to be contacting TCL or Enreal and see like, hey, I'm curious, would you want a retro handheld channel to review these for retro gaming purposes specifically? So yeah.
Well, yeah, buddy, let's get you a pair so you can tell us how they are.
Yeah, I'm a new tech dweeb. I like trying new experiences and things that are just kind of strange sometimes. So maybe even I'll come around on the Peak Dew in a few months, but we'll see. So yeah, Russ liked Sharp Image. It's lightweight. It just works great in bed. Unfortunately, I guess the brightness curve kind of sucks. It's a tethered experience. It's a little bit fragile, and it definitely has that early adopter vibe. So there you go. Smart glasses are a thing.
This pretty soon is what we'll all be Geordi LaForge.
Pretty soon, yeah. That Star Trek holodeck future is now. Even more cool, though, is the TI Boy CE. That's right. They released a Game Boy Color emulator for the TI 84 calculator. And I am so excited. So Mr. Sujana was covering this one. And you can play Pokemon on a TI-83 CE and a TI-84 CE.
That's so fun that these calculators that these that I love. I mean, well, I mean, I'm sure there's like actual functions for these to be used in the workplace. But I mean, you're in your 30s, mid-30s, right? Like,
yeah, late 30s now, technically. But okay. Yeah.
So you were in high school probably around, what, the early to mid-2000s, same time I was. So, yep. You know, we had the TI-84.
Hell yeah.
Like, the original one that doesn't have a backlit screen and apparently doesn't have a processor that can play these kinds of games. But do you remember, like, all the little, like, janky games that we used to throw in those things? I'm sure you did the same thing,
oh, of
right?
course,
like,
yeah.
Code Doom, your own. You could run so simple.
Yeah. You could run games in BASIC that were, like, Doom. Text adventures, like Drug Wars and all that. Or you could play games in assembly language. So you could do things like Doom. You could do, like, a Mario ripoff. And that was really cool. That was so fancy. I should have been paying attention in math class. I'm sorry, Mr. Webke. I'm very sorry, but calculators were so cool at the time. And I was programming my own version of Star Ocean on there. And I loved that. Oh, and I made a fun version of Risk once. And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was like my big, That was my big break as a dev in high school. It got passed around to at least 20 to 25 kids.
Nice.
Not to toot my own horn, but it's kind of popular. Also made a multiplayer chat app where you could send a message and it would go to the other calculator and they could send it back and then we could make a Mad Lib out of our answers. That was kind of nice. Fun. Sorry, my ego.
Kids just use smartphones in class now, so probably experience is lost.
Way dumber. Yeah, no one can relate at all to this, I suppose. I remember, though, and Pepperidge Farm remembers. But play Pokemon Crystal or Mario Golf on your calculator.
That's really cool, though. I love that they have these ported to these devices. It's fun.
The Washington Post gave us a summary here of something called the Game Awards. Just kidding. You all know what that is, probably. So it's much like a movie awards show. They do a Game Awards show, and I guess you'll never guess this, but Elden Ring won this year. It was Elden Ring and, I believe, what, God of War Ragnarok?
Yeah, those were the two games that walked away with the most press, basically, at the end of this thing.
Yep. I have played about 20 minutes of Elden Ring, and I've not touched Ragnarok yet. But if they're that good, I suppose I best better try them.
Yeah, there was a lot of good, like, deserved awards that went out. I can't remember which award, but Stray, you know, the one about the cat.
The cat, yeah, I want to play that. Got a war. That looks so...
Same, it's on my list, it's just having the time to try it out.
Yeah,
so.
It looks really like a neat idea, so... We don't really cover too much modern stuff on here, but check out the Game Awards.
If you want to bring it into handheld territory, Valve had a thing where if you pre-registered and watched the live feed through the Steam app,
win a Steam Deck.
They were giving away 512 gigabyte Steam Decks every minute. Over 2 hours.
Ridiculous.
So, I did not win one.
Ridiculous. segueing into just a personal nerdy passion of mine. I've been doing, again, a lot of VR lately. I've been having fun with my modified Quest 2 here, connected up to my PC, and playing a lot of Among Us VR, actually, which is ridiculously fun, and I can't recommend it enough. But if you want to do retro gaming in your VR headset of choice through PC VR, check out Emulation VR, so Emu VR. I'll have their Discord in our description here, but look at this. So you can boot up and your old PS1, get that experience of playing your N64 with the CRT, and you can set up a retro room to hang out in. And it functions pretty much like a front end, and you can go up to the shelf, pull down the game you want to play, you physically take it out of the box, pop it into the system, and then turn it on in VR. And in the back end, I believe it works pretty much like LaunchBox or RetroArch, where it's going to emulate. That's what's powering. But this is a lot of fun. So I recommend just playing with it. Totally free. It's still being updated and very active community. So just, yeah. Emu VR, super nerdy, super cool.
Return to your den from the 90s. When you were younger.
Please do like, comment, and subscribe if you like the content you're seeing here. I put a poll up on the channel talking about our 2023 content. Please go vote on that and let us know what you want to see more of. Also letting us know what you want to see less of. Some of you said, we want to see more of everything. And I said, great. But we really want to focus in on our best content and like take it to the next level. So 2023, check us out. Gonna be hitting it hard. Like, comment, subscribe for that weekly recap of your retro handheld news. This has been Stubbs.
This is Damien.
And this has been RH Weekly. Take care of your handhelds, everybody, and each other. We'll see you next time. We love you.